Matthew chapter 11, verse 16 to 24. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall worship Him regardlessly. The title of the message, A Wayward Generation. A wayward generation, or a stubborn generation, or perverse generation, or a rebellious generation. We will read together from verse 16 to 24. And I read from the ESV, it reads as following. This is Jesus speaking, addressing the crowd that is standing before him. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling their playmates. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dinge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is satisfied by her deeds. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his works, or his mighty works, had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds or the works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and may he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Jesus, friends, is addressing the crowd that has been following him throughout as we've been reading. Now he's pointing some few important things to this crowd, things that everyone should take into consideration. You can remember that John had his own doubts. John had his own weakness. But what we need to learn this morning is that this crowd have a greater problem than what they thought John had, if they thought that was a problem. John was finally cleared by the Lord Jesus Christ that he was actually a greater person than they are, or any person ever born from a woman. This crowd has a bigger problem. And that is the problem we're going to look at this morning. Last week, we concluded that every believer in Christ Jesus is also great because he is in the kingdom of God. Everyone who is born of God, anyone who has believed the gospel, is great in the eyes of God. But what I want to bring before you, church, is that this crowd, again, I'm repeating, has a greater problem than what they think. What is the problem? They are more sinful than they can realize for themselves. That is the greatest problem a crowd can ever have. That is the greatest problem a person can have. More sinful than you can realize. So therefore this morning, we look at Jesus. Jesus is rebuking the crowd. But not only is he rebuking the crowd, Jesus is rebuking everyone who refused to believe the gospel. What we have before us today is a rebuke to people who refuse to believe the good news of the kingdom of God. So Jesus is not only rebuking this immediate crowd that we're reading about here, but through this crowd, through speaking to this crowd, Jesus is sending a message to the entire world. Jesus is sending a message to each and every one of us, even this morning. He rebukes everyone present there and everyone in the future. This message is written for every person who will ever live. He rebukes everyone who had the privilege then to hear words coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to see mighty works, to see the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only those people who could hear the audible voice of Jesus and see the mighty deeds of Jesus are rebuked here, but also people who read about them even today and refuse to believe. The biggest problem that these people have is that they did not care about judging their own motives. People don't care about looking on their own inwards. They didn't care about judging their own motives. Why are they doing things? They don't question the wrongs they are doing. What did they care about and what pleased them was to point at other people and judge those people. What this crowd did, they will judge among the believers. Who is the better believer than the other one? They will judge among the preachers, as we're going to see here, who is better than the other preacher. What the crowd does, they don't look, when I'm talking about the crowd, I'm talking about people outside the kingdom of God. They don't look at their own failures. They don't look at their own weaknesses. They only want to look at the Christian's weakness. They want to blame the church. And when they don't blame the church, they will blame the pastor of the church. And in most cases, they blame the pastor's wife for everything. That is the world out there. And Jesus is about to attack or bring a rebuke on such an attitude, an attitude of unbelief. Because such an attitude comes as a result of a heart that is far from God. If their heart was closer to God, they would have looked inwardly. They would have judged their own motives. If your heart is closer to God, you will scrutinize your own life and your own heart before you scrutinize another person's heart and life. So church, this morning, I want to bring you just two signs of a wayward generation, two signs of a rebellious generation, or two identities of a rebellious people, and also the results of such an attitude. So we're going to look at three things: two signs of this rebellious people or a wayward generation, but also what does that result to? What is the end result? And of course, church, there are many signs of a rebellious people. If I can ask you to count how many signs you see on a person that the person is rebellious, there will be plenty. But the two that I'm bringing here is the core. There is no sign out there that is not from the two that we're going to look at this morning. And all the signs, including these two that you can see out there, they result or they lead to one end. And that is the end we're going to look at in my third point. What is the reason for this message then? What is the reason? The reason is that we may know or be reminded of what we need to hold dear in our own hearts. What we need to hold dear in order to make it to heaven. Because if we don't hear this, we don't hold unto this, we may not also make it unto heaven. But also the reason is that we should also go out there then and teach other people of what the truth is. Especially the religious people who are out there without the truth of the gospel. So what is the first sign that we're going to look at? We see that in verse 16 to verse 19. Irresponsiveness to the gospel. What does that mean? A failure to respond to the gospel. But not just a failure to respond to the gospel. An intentional failure to respond to the gospel is a sign of a wayward generation. Verse 16 to 19. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in a marketplace and calling to their playmates, "We played a flute for you, and it did not dance. We sang a dance for you, and it did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." Church, What we have before us here is a people who have heard and ignored the gospel of the kingdom of God. They've heard and ignored. It's not people who never heard. It's people who are hearing on daily basis, but they will ignore what they are hearing. Why will they ignore what they hear? They ignore because they had chosen what they want to hear. The reason why people ignore, they have chosen what they want to hear. They have chosen their own truth that they wanted to believe outside the truth that is preached to them. And as they choose such a truth, so-called truth, that they want to believe, then they go on to criticize the real truth. So you have two truths, which is something that does not actually exist. We have what the people make as the truth and the real truth, and the people will believe what they make as the truth and reject the real truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth. So these people have chosen to have their own truth. Therefore, Jesus is addressing such a people. People who does not know what they want. They have everything before them. They have the gift of God coming down from heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, they do not know what they want. They keep looking, they keep searching. But the answer is before them. People who choose death than life. People who will hate you for the truth and love you for a lie. And that is happening even in our day. People will hate you for the truth and love you for a lie. People will not be satisfied with whatever you do for them. You can do as much as you want. No one is happy about it. And these are the people who when they receive something good, they complain. When they receive something better, which is actually one step from good, they also complain. Where do you see that idea? They receive John, they complain. Something good. There is Jesus, something better than good, something that cannot be compared. They still complain. He receives something from God, they complain. God restrains something from them for their own good, they complain. Such people will always try to find faults. They will find fault with everything they do not possess. If they don't have it, they find fault with it. If they don't understand it, they find fault with it. That is the kind of people and the attitude we are dealing with even this day. These people, it's worse for them, especially this crowd. The Bible tells us that this crowd have tried to judge Jesus. How do you judge the Lord Jesus Christ? But not only did they try to judge Jesus according to their human standards, they went on to try to disqualify John the Baptist based on their own lack of knowledge and truth of God. Once you don't have the knowledge and the truth of God, you come out with silly judgment against that which is true. Church, the very same thing that was happening in that day is happening also in our day. You cannot respond positively to the truth if the truth is something that is against what you are doing. You cannot respond positively to something that is against what you think is right. And that is what was happening here. And instead then of responding positively to something that is against you, what is the next step? You will have to criticize it. You will have to find fault with it. I remember when I was working for Nissan, the car manufacturer called Nissan. We went to attend a course with the different courses, and I attended a course there where they taught us how to be brand loyal. You must be loyal to the brand called Nissan, and you must be proud Nissan. So wherever you go, you must feel good about Nissan. You must know all the good things about Nissan. They will teach us how to sell this brand and how to criticize other brands in a diplomatic way. You criticize, but you are not showing that you are criticizing. That is what they're teaching you there. Of course, if you wise enough, you know that there are better manufacturers than Nissan. There are better cars out there than Nissan. But that's not the mind they are giving you in that course. In that course, they tell you that Nissan is the best. You must try to find fault with everybody. And I can tell you, church, I could find fault with any make compared to Nissan. And the faults were true. Because there are positives that Nissan has compared to other cars. But you may find out that they are less positive than the other ones. But we stick to the negative. And that is what is happening here. People are trained by their own evil hearts to find fault where there is no fault. So Jesus is revealing the inward heart of the people. That is where the problem is. The inward heart of the person is affected so much by sin that the person's judgment is also affected. So people cannot judge wisely. They see good as evil, and they see evil as good. They see night as day, and day as night. That is what is happening here. They criticize all that is good, and they will not respond to something that is good, that is set before them. So Jesus is saying, this generation is like those children. I want you to listen, what does it mean when he says, it's like those children who are not responsive to their friends. You have heard the verse. He says, there are children here who are complaining and saying, we sang for you, you did not dance. We did all these things for you, did not respond. So this crowd is not like the children who are complaining, but this crowd is like the children who are not responding, because their friends are doing something good for them. They sing for them, they play harps and whatever they play, but the crowd is not responsive. So in other words, church, God has been good to these people, calling unto them through the gospel and saying, dance for me, dance with me. In other words, worship me with a heart full of truth. But the people did not respond. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent John the Baptist, two friends, calling among the friends, meaning calling among those who are of the same nation, calling among their own people. But there was no friendly response. So these people don't know what they are on about. Their two friends, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, calling on to sinners as friends, as they also are saying that Jesus was friends of sinners. But here is the friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, calling unto them, but they did not dance. Calling unto them, they refused to worship him. Instead of responding to John's call of repentance according to this Bible, they judge him. Instead of repenting in ashes and crying unto God and say, save us from our sin, they say the message of John, which was the message of judgment, is a message from demons. That's what happens. Once you preach about judgment, once you preach about sin, we have a demon in you. They say John has a demon because John says, you will burn. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. No, it's got a demon. You cannot preach like this. That is what they said. John has a demon. But here's the problem. Even when Jesus came and lived among them, Jesus came and be part of the people, Jesus was more friendly than John. Jesus did not point a finger to somebody that you will burn in hell like John. Jesus took care of their physical needs. Jesus broke bread and fed multitudes. And Jesus broke fish and gave to hungry people. Jesus took care of their physical infirmities. Jesus healed their sick bodies. Jesus spent time with them. But they said something is wrong with this Jesus. That's what people do when they want to reject the truth. They refuse to hear the voice of God. They refuse to hear anything that does not fit in with their system of thought, their evil system of thought and deeds. They had silly complaints about John, saying he did not drink. That's very silly. You complain that somebody does not drink. I remember back in the day where I grew up, I did not drink, I did not smoke. So I had few friends, because something was wrong with me. Every guy in my age was doing it. Something is wrong with you. The same thing with John. But I remember, right now, I have a younger brother than me who drinks a little bit more than the usual people who could drink. He drinks a little bit more. They still say there's something wrong with him. So there's something wrong with him who drinks more than them, and there's something wrong with me who never drank. That is the problem with the people. Why are they doing so? They just want to reject the truth. It is not about the messengers of the gospel. That is what this is. It is never about the messengers of the gospel. It is about the heart of the people who does not want to receive the truth. But church, there is a spiritual reason why John did not drink. John followed God's instruction about him. It was prophesied about John. Look at Luke chapter number 1. Let's turn to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, verse 15. Luke chapter number 1, verse 15. This is the angel of God speaking to the parents of John the Baptist on how will John the Baptist hand himself among the society. This is what they say. He will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the mother's womb. So John has a spiritual reason why he does not drink. John is following the instruction of God about him. That is what distinguished John from the people. That is what distinguished John from all other prophets. He will be great among the people. He will be great before the Lord. In other words, he will be a great man, a man of honor before Jesus Christ is revealed. And he will not be a drunk. He will not put wine in his mouth. He will not put strong drink in his mouth. But when John did not drink, in other words, when John followed the instruction of God, people said he had a demon. When you follow the instruction of God, don't be surprised when people say you have a demon in you. You two streets. You think you're better. That is what the people are saying. On the other hand, we find Jesus. Jesus did not avoid wine. But they were still unhappy with Jesus. Jesus did not avoid wine. He took few sips of wine through his lips, down his throat. But they were also unhappy with Jesus. So they are not happy with someone who's drinking. They are not happy with someone who's not drinking. What does this mean? It means that Jesus lived among them. But not only did he live among them, Jesus lived a normal life among the people. Not the life of John the Baptist, the life of the wilderness. Jesus did not wear camel clothes and stink like a camel. Jesus was in the township. Jesus was in among the people. He lived among them. He was one of them. He was friends with sinners. He was friends with tax collectors. He saved the people, as I was saying even before. He was friends of sinners and ate with them. He drank wine in the wedding, whenever there was a wedding. Yet, he was not good enough for the people. Why? Why is Jesus not good enough for the people, although he did more or less what other people will do, modern society will do? Yes, he did not drink to get drunk. He just sipped wine, because wine is good for the body. But why was he not good enough for the people? Because he preached the good news of the kingdom of God. So it is never the fault of the pastor or the fault of the church that preaches the gospel. That is why the people are not in that church. It's not that. The people are against. They are irresponsible for their own life. They are not responding, unresponsive to the gospel, because that is what they want. They want a truth of their own making. They don't want the truth that God is bringing unto them. You drink, you have a problem. You don't drink, you have a problem. Jesus did not get drunk like a drunkard, but they saw him sipping wine and say, he's a drunk. There's no record that Jesus Christ got drunk. It cannot be, because the Bible tells us that getting drunk is sin, and the Bible tells us that Jesus did not sin. So he drank wine, but he didn't get drunk with wine. He didn't sit in the tavern and acted to be cool so that he maybe will speak to the people in the tavern. That is not the gospel. And that is not the gospel we're expecting to hear from our people. That you must sit in a tavern as a Christian and speak to the tavernites. No, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't wear a t-shirt with a beer emblem in front of him just so that he can reach other people. That gospel is false gospel if there is a gospel like that. That attitude is a false attitude if there's an attitude like that. Regardless of how many churches we may plant, claiming that Jesus was cool. He was not cool with sin. He was never cool with sin. Sin is sin. But what we have here, friends, is a people who are not happy with God's way. That is why they want to be cool. They're not happy with God's way. God sent two people with one mission. There was no need for the crowd to separate them. Two people, one mission. The mission was to preach the kingdom of God. All then that they needed to know, and all that they needed to believe, was the glorious gospel message of truth. They needed to hear the voice of God, of reconciliation between God and man. But they chose not to listen. But we must also learn from this church. Learn to never despise people just because they have a different approach to how you think things should be done. These people despised John and Jesus because they had a different approach to ministry. They wanted ministers who will be like the Pharisees. But these people cannot be like the Pharisees. They are the people holding the truth in the palm of their hands. But we already seen one beautiful thing here. What is it that we've seen that is beautiful? In their complaint, there is something good. They are saying Jesus is friend of sinners. And that is right. And we know him so. Because Jesus is our own friend and we are also sinners. Jesus was not a friend of hypocrites. People who act religious, but behind the scene, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. So they know that Jesus was friends for sinners. But he was not their friend because they were hypocrites. He cannot be friends of hypocrites, but friends of people who accept that they are sinners. People who look unto him for salvation. He is also our friend today. What does one song say? He says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and grief to bear. Can we find a friend so faithful? It's a question. What kind of friend? A friend who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. That's what the song says. So therefore, church, the crowd is warned against their irresponsiveness to the gospel. We are also warned against our own irresponsiveness to the gospel message. But the second sign of a wayward generation, not only are they not responding to the gospel, but secondly, they're ignorant to Jesus' miracles. You may find that very strange or odd. People ignorant to Jesus' miracles. No, that's not how it looks like out there. People love Jesus' miracles. But I'm saying the people were ignorant. And I'm telling you, even today, the people are ignorant to Jesus' miracles. What are we saying? Listen to Jesus. Verse 20 to 22. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than you. Church, what we see is as Jesus goes on now, he denounces or he criticizes some of the cities and the towns where he himself preached the gospel, where he preached and expected to find disciples. Now, verse 20 says that Jesus denounced them. Why is he denouncing them? Why is Jesus criticizing them? Not because they did not see the miracles, because they did not repent. Please underline again. They did not repent. Not only did they not repent from hearing the message that we spoke about in the first point. That was hearing. They did not respond when they heard, but also when they saw miracles, they did not repent. They saw Jesus in action, they did not repent. So, church, according to Jesus, his miracles aimed to lead people into repentance. I think that is very important. The miracles of Jesus aimed to lead people into repentance. What were they supposed to repent from? Repenting from rejecting that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, who comes in power to heal and to save people. They had rejected Jesus. They said Jesus was never the Son of God. So he did all these miracles so that they may believe. I think that is what the Gospel of John tells us. towards the end of the book. Many signs Jesus did so that we believe. So the signs, the miracles that were done were for people to believe. But not to believe as today we believe, no. So signs today, when they are done, they are not done so that we believe the gospel, no. They were supposed to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They refuse to believe. So they ignored the miracles of Jesus, although they wanted Jesus to continue to do miracles. They had the greatest privilege of seeing Jesus and hearing him preach. They had the greatest privilege of hearing God himself speaking to them. The voice of Jesus is the voice of God. The miracles of Jesus are the miracles direct from God, not miracles from God passed through to a prophet to do. This is direct from heaven to reveal the Son of God. That is what the miracles were about. So if you hear about the miracles in the Bible, although the miracles helped people, but the aim, as it is prophesied also in the book of Psalms, the aim was for the people to recognize Jesus. The question is, did they recognize Jesus? No, they did not. They only judged Jesus. So that is the problem with this generation. When they look at the miracles of Jesus, they do not recognize Jesus. The people ignored the meaning of Jesus' miracles. There is a meaning. The miracles were done in order that people will believe. The miracles were done in order that people may see the true identity of the Son of God, the Messiah. But people took those miracles as something of power display. Give us signs, we will believe. They still don't believe. They just want to see power. Is that not what is happening today? Signs are something of power display. When you go to these false churches where they claim to be doing signs, why are they doing signs? Not that people will believe in Jesus, so that his power display. People who are there, they believe in Jesus physically, not spiritually. That is not what the signs are for. Signs were supposed to turn the spiritual being of a person to know that Jesus is the Messiah. That is why today we don't need signs and wonders to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We've got the faithful and full testimony, Jesus is the Messiah. The Bible says so. But it is all about power display. So here's the question. If the miracles done by Jesus did not turn the people's hearts unto God, but it only entertained the people, who do we think we are today that we think will perform miracles that the people will come to Jesus? No. We perform miracles so that the people come to church and there's a lot of people and there's a lot of money, there's a lot of excitement. That is all this is about. So, I'm repeating myself. There is a sense here of rejecting the miracles or ignoring the true meaning of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we realize quickly here is that then Jesus made a comparison to the people. If you read your Bible, Jesus made a comparison to the people that he was speaking to, compared to the people of the past, people who lived long ago. The reason why he's doing the comparison, the people also compared Jesus and John. So now he is hitting them in the same way they were trying to hit him. He's comparing them with the previous generation. He says, if this miracle is done here to you, were done for these people in the past, the people of the past would have believed. But you don't believe. There is something wrong with this generation. It is a wayward generation, a twisted mind generation. They all that they need is miracles. But Jesus is saying, no, that's not what you will get. Somewhere else he says, the miracle that you will get is the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so shall be the Son of Man. In other words, the only miracle that people need is Jesus' death and resurrection. The only miracle that people need is salvation, to look unto Jesus and be saved. So he's comparing this generation of the past and generation of today. He says, no, the generation of the past come top, but the generation of today is not qualified. The generation of today is in more danger because of their gross unbelief. in comparison to the unbelief of the past. It's not saying the people of the past believed. They also did not believe, but this is gross unbelief compared to that unbelief. So this is more sinful compared to the sin of the past. But that is what happens today. When people look at the miracles of Jesus, they only see great power instead of seeing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. They don't see the gospel power in Jesus. They don't see the power that leads unto salvation. That is what this generation did. They did not see that in Christ. So Jesus said, they are worse than the generation of the past. They want to enjoy the immediate action. They want to enjoy, they want to follow Jesus physically. That is the danger. Following Jesus physically so that you see miracles. Following Jesus physically so that you eat bread. Following Jesus physically so that there's money in your bank account. Following Jesus physically so that you get a job. Following Jesus physically so that you get a blessing. Following Jesus physically so that you get something out. It's dangerous. Their unbelief, church, was unbelievable. Jesus could not believe this sort of unbelief. They refused to look beyond the miracles. They refused to find life from Him who performed the miracles. They refused to see God's truth in Jesus. They refused to see God's gift to them. Which is why Jesus actually wept for these people in Luke chapter number 19, if you remember, verse 43 to 45. What did Jesus say there in verse 43? Sorry, to 44. Weeping for these people. For their attitude, He says to them, the day will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in from every way and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon you. Because why? There's the reason. You did not know the time of your visitation. This generation did not know the time of their visitation. They did not recognize the beauty that was among them. They did not see the power of God among them. They failed to grab, as it were, by the hem, the grab, the rope of Jesus Christ. They failed. It is possible that today we also fail to recognize the time of our own visitation. Our own visitation comes not only in body as Jesus came, but it comes in the power of the Holy Spirit and it comes in the Word of God. It is possible not to see your own visitation, and you'll be worse than the generation of the past. So Jesus was amazed. He's amazed. How can these people be so against the truth? Their hearts are intoxicated with unbelief. There's so much poison in their own hearts. Poison is brewing in there because of unbelief. That is why, church, it doesn't matter how many people are following physically. Unless they follow spiritually, it is worthless. That is what was happening here. Big crowd following Him physically, but spiritually, they are far from God. They are satisfied to be worse than the generation of the past. Let us not be satisfied to be worse than the generation of the past. But I want you to notice, Jesus is mentioning the cities here by name. Why is Jesus mentioning the cities by name? What does that to do with us? Church, Jesus knows every city where the gospel was preached. Jesus knows every soul, every person who heard the gospel. So one day when He pronounced this woe upon you, you will know that He's not taking a chance. He knows what is in the hearts of men. He knows the structure, the plans, the way of each and every township in South Africa. How is it planned? How is it going to be? He denounced these cities for their gross negligence or ignorance to his miracles. They refused to see Him as the King of the Jews. Intentionally rejected the miracles of Jesus. But there is something that touched me when I was reading this. In verse number 23. In verse 23, the city of Capernaum is mentioned there. You know what? Every city can be mentioned, but the city of Capernaum. Church, Capernaum had the greatest privilege than all the cities mentioned here. The Bible revealed Capernaum throughout the whole Bible as a city with great privilege. Grace of God, the greatest grace of God was upon Capernaum. The love of God in Capernaum. But Capernaum still refused the miracles of Jesus. Philip lived in Capernaum. Peter lived in Capernaum. Jesus lived in Capernaum. But here's the problem. If you read these verses, Capernaum refused the miracles performed by Jesus. There is something wrong here. Church, even if Jesus will live among the people, here's the message. Jesus can live here in Olivet. People will not believe in him. So let us not pray that Jesus come and live among us. If that was the prayer, maybe if he preached to the people, they will repent. No, they will not. Capernaum did not repent. They lived with Jesus. But they look unto him. They rejected his miracles. Miracles that pointed that this was the Son of God. Miracles that were performed by Jesus to turn people to God. So today, there is no way we can turn people to God by miracles. They refuse. But the miracles were done, not to entertain, but to point to Jesus. So church, it is not because people don't have miracles and wonders, that is why they don't hear the gospel. No. It is not because of that. Capernaum had miracles and wonders. They still did not hear the gospel. People will always avoid or ignore Jesus in the midst of the miracles. Even if you go to these false miracles, they don't see Jesus in the false miracles, which is fine. But even if those miracles were true, people will still not see Jesus in the miracles. They will always see the man of God and the miracle. That is the problem with Capernaum. That is the problem even today. Jesus will not have to walk here to do a miracle. But now, let's find the reason and the results on why people are unresponsive to the message of the cross. Why people are ignorant towards the meaning of Jesus' miracles. Here, church, we're going to find the primary reason why we today are up against this twisted-minded generation that we have towards us. What is the reason? It is the sin of unbelief. So thirdly, unbelief leads to hell. The reason all this was happening, it is because of unbelief. And the problem with unbelief, it leads to hell. Verse 23 to 24. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? Will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For this, if this mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it will remain until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. So, if you look carefully at church, you look carefully at this passage, you realize then that immediately, no unbeliever will make it to heaven, regardless of his own religiousness. Capernaum people were religious people. They belonged to Judaism. They were religious people. They knew God. But no unbeliever, in other words, no person outside the Lord Jesus Christ will make it unto heaven. But more so, no physical follower of Jesus will make it to heaven. No physical lover of Jesus. When I'm saying so, meaning those people who claim to love Jesus, but the love of Christ is not in their heart, will make it to heaven. And that is what Jesus is saying to Capernaum, the city where he lived. So, he's saying, those who saw his miracles and still did not believe will not be exalted to heaven, regardless of their unique privilege. They had this unique privilege of seeing Jesus' miracles. That is why, church, the Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse 11, he came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. He came to his own did not receive him. So, another thing that we need to see very quickly is that actually heaven is real. Because Jesus is talking about people exalted to heaven. So heaven is not a myth. Heaven is real. And so is hell. Hell is real. He's saying you will be brought down
to Hades. Hades, that is the place with burning fire and sulfur. That is hell. These things are real. We will not have people or preachers telling us these things are not real. Heaven is real. Heaven, in other words, once we read here, what we need to take home, what we need to take to our own heart, heaven must be desired. We must live as a people desiring to be in heaven. Heaven should be that point of everyone's interest. I am longing to be heaven. Heaven should be something that we are striving to get. Heaven is real. But church, as you read here, you realize this is not Jesus' sweet sermon about the sweet heaven. No, this is not Jesus' sweet sermon about sweet heaven. We can have sweet sermon about sweet heaven. No, this is not a message. This is a rebuke to unbelievers. This is a direction that points where will unbelievers go. This is a direction that points you and I, if we refuse the message of the kingdom of God, where shall we be? So he's not coming here to give a sweet speech about how good heaven is. But he's saying these people should think twice of how they behave before him. They mustn't think that he's saying to Capernaum, do you think you'll be exalted to heaven? In other words, they mustn't think that because Jesus lived among them, Jesus will be more kind to them on the last day of the Lord. No, why not? Heaven is not entered through favoritism outside believing the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way he is kind to them because he lived among them. No, Jesus will not be kind to them. They need to call unto him for the salvation of their souls. So you hear this bad news here. The bad news is that these people thought they will be exalted unto heaven because they lived with Jesus. These people thought they will be exalted unto heaven as it were, because Jesus was among them. We might think so as well, if you will, that we will be exalted unto heaven because maybe you attend church, maybe you read the Bible, maybe. No, it is not about that. It is not about physical doing. It is about spiritual attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you attached spiritually to the Lord Jesus Christ? Not because Jesus lives in your house, not because Jesus lives in me and I'm happy with it, because we sing those songs, he lives in my heart, which is true. But for those who have believed, is that so with you? Is that so with you? So we realize here the bad news, that unbelief, please notice, please underline, unbelief is the transport that takes people to hell. Unbelief is the main reason why people end up in hell. People are not end up in hell because they kill people. People, they don't end up in hell because they are child molesters. They are child molesters, they are killing other people because they don't believe in God. It is the unbelief that sends them to hell. It is the unbelief that defines who they are. They have an unbelieving heart. The reason why we do what we do, the reason why we sin, is because we are unbelievers. So we cannot escape to deal with the issue of unbelief and try to deal with issue of rape. It is unbelief that will send people to hell. That is what John chapter number 3 says in verse number 18. What does Jesus say there? Or the Bible, John says there, whosoever believes in him is not condemned, but whosoever does not believe, that's the unbelieving one, is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have not believed, you are already condemned. So you do all those things that condemns you, but you are already condemned. That is the point here. So unbelief is the greatest problem. That is why God sent Jesus into the world, because the world was full of unbelievers. That is why God is sending his church into the world, because the world is full of unbelievers. That is why God is sending his spirit into the world. Not only is the world full of unbelievers, but the world also needs the spirit of God, because the spirit of God, only him converts people unto saints. Is that not what John 3:16 is all about? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believe may not perish. Whosoever pass from that bridge of unbelief
and comes to light will not be condemned but have eternal life. But there's another bad news here. There's another bad news here. As you read this text, you realize that the people of the past also did not believe. But the fact that the people of this generation that Jesus is addressing and our generation today are worse than those of the past does not excuse the people of the past of their own sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. So they have their own sin. We have our own sin. They didn't hear the audible voice of Jesus. They didn't see the miracles of Jesus. But definitely the people of Sodom heard Lot speaking to them. They saw the angels of God. But they still continued in their unbelief. So there is no excuse for any person. You don't have any excuse. Regardless of who you are, whether you have seen a miracle or not, whether you have heard the voice of God audible or not, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please notice verse number 24. Verse number 24 suggests that hell will not be the same hot for every person. Hell will not be the same hot for every person. I'm not going to go through this thing. There's a message that was preached in this church. Go to your website, you will know what this is about. But hell will not be the same hot for every person. So those who purposely deny the Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching will suffer more in hell than those who actually did not deny but they remain unbelievers. So hell will not be the same hot for everybody, but it will be hot. So what is the message here? Hell is hell. Regardless how hot, hell is hell. Regardless how lukewarm it may be for you in hell, hell is hell. Regardless of what you think, hell is horrible. Listen to what the Bible says. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenchable. Hell is hell and hell is horrible. So we should never try to settle for a better hell. Because if you continue in sin, we are trying to settle for a better hell. We cannot try to settle for a better wrath of God. The wrath of God remains the wrath of God, regardless of what you think. Church, there is a place. A place burning with sulfur and brimstone. There is a place of sorrow and pain. There is a place of regret and no repentance after all. There is a place of darkness and hell is that place. A place of darkness and shame. And only through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ can one escape such a place. Such future anguish, such future sorrows can be escaped through believing the message of the gospel. Only Jesus can set you free from Satan and sin. Only Jesus can set you free from the wrath of God. Only Jesus can set you free from the jaws of hell. Jesus alone. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need not to reject the message of Jesus. We need not to ignore the miracles that pointed that Jesus was the Son of God. We need to pray for the Spirit of God to guide us through each and every day so that we do not become like the people of Capernaum. The people of Capernaum lived with Jesus, but they did not see Jesus. The people of Olivet lived with Jesus through his word, but they don't see Jesus. We do not want to be those people. Let me close like this. Regardless of who you are, regardless of where you come from, regardless of what you think you are, you are obligated to believe. You are obligated to respond to the message of the gospel. Regardless of what privilege you have and what privilege you did not have, you must call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Never fail to respond to biblical teaching. Remember Jesus' miracles all the time. And why should you remember Jesus' miracles? Not because you are entertained by the miracles, but because the miracles reveal who Jesus is. Remember Jesus' miracles. They are the identity of Jesus. They help you to say, Lord, Savior, God, Jesus. So pray against the sin of unbelief. We spoke about the sin of unbelief. It is the sin that transports people to the depths of hell. Pray against the sin of unbelief. Why? Because Christ died for the sin of unbelief. If the sin of unbelief Christ did not die for, we wouldn't believe today. He died for the sin of unbelief. Let us pray against the sin of unbelief. Why? We've got brothers and sisters, family members who are still remaining in the state of unbelief. Let us pray for the sin of unbelief. Never compare God's ministers according to personal preferences, but compare God's ministers according to the truth. Let the truth pave our way unto heaven, not our preferred way, because our preferred way can only pave our way unto the depths of hell. May the good Lord bless us as we think of this message of truth. Let us all bow as we pray.